So Rudolf Steiner begins by telling us that way, way, way back when, as far as he can see, there was a moment when a decision was made to create the world and to create the human beings who inhabit it. And he would sometimes say, when people say, but what about before that? He said, isn't it enough that I'm going this far back to this time of creation? That this was a time when the spiritual world was in a state of absolute perfection. That it was a fully functional organism, although that word falls far short of the system that was there, which functioned in absolute perfection. And God, as it were, the prime mover, was at the very center of this system, this incredible creation created sometime long before. But nonetheless, for reasons known only unto himself, God recognized that this perfection would have to go through a state of imperfection so that perfection on a new level could be attained. And the best that we could do would be to say that this was a system that worked perfectly, but was also, as it were, unconscious of its own workings. That among the myriad beings who were there at this time, there was no sense of why they were doing what they were doing, or even, as it were, how they had developed to do what they were doing. They were just doing it, and it was basically activity that was just a series of concentric circles of different degrees of adoration of God, of contemplation of God, of imitation of God. And this is why it was so perfect. If you're acting in such a way that you cannot help but be God-like, you're unlikely to do very much besides the very good and the very perfect. But this was not enough. For one reason or another, known only unto God himself, another aspect of the universe would have to be developed which could serve as a reflective apparatus, which could give these godly beings, these hierarchical beings, a sense of themselves. Now, this comes so natural to us to be self-conscious as adults that we sort of forget when it wasn't the case, when we were very young and our consciousness was at one with the world around us. It was at one with our parents, with our teachers, with other caretakers. And it's hard for us because it was so painful to remember what it was like to awaken to self-consciousness. Except I certainly remember mothers in my class in 7th and 8th grade complaining that their daughters did not ever eat breakfast because they spent an hour in front of the mirror trying to make themselves look really good. There you have an aspect of self-consciousness in our time. How do I look? How do I look to others? So, in a way, we tend to recollect, and perhaps this is basically as far as we get in our self-consciousness, but on a deeper philosophical level, we know that we are. We ask questions about our existence because we know we exist. And this is at least a step in that direction. The hierarchies had nothing like this in their consciousness. Their consciousness was a unity with their creator and their sustainer. And this had to change. So this needed a progression to change. And for this reason, time was created. And time arose out of the activity of beings, particularly those in the loftiest of the hierarchies, the highest of the hierarchies. And Steiner speaks of a kind of sacrificial action that went on, particularly among those beings called the thrones, who gave up part of the essence of their being so that something new could hesitantly, delicately begin to appear in the universe. And we could say, on one level, what was new was the creation of warmth, a manifestation of something that came out of spirit and radiated into the universe. And it didn't just radiate out infinitely, it had a kind of demarcation, though there was no space. But we could say that if we were to give it a demarcation so that we could hold on to it and understand it better, that this body of warmth would have filled up the entire space between today's sun and the orbit of Saturn, which was classically seen by ancient astronomers to be the last of the planets. It's a very, very great distance, many, many, many millions of miles. And that was this body of warmth. Now, Steiner says nothing could be seen. And even in terms of today's understanding of differences of temperature, nothing could be felt either. But it was a manifestation of warmth. And this warmth began to act in such a way that we could say it laid the foundation very delicately, very tentatively, for what we could call today's laws of physics. That within this warmth there were currents, some extremely hot, almost blistering, and these currents would move in relationship to other currents. And here we began to have something like the system of vectors that we might draw on a board to explain the reaction of a billiard ball when it's hit by another. Something like that. So the laws of physics began to appear and disappear. Nothing had a very long duration here. But the fact that there were things that endured, even for what we would say were nothing more than split seconds, this also resulted in the creation of time. So warmth and time both began to appear, and in the marriage of warmth and time, through the laws of physics starting to manifest through the action of this warmth, were laid down also the seeds, the foundations of the human physical body. So this is why I was able to say in an earlier segment that the physical body is the most perfect of our bodies, that it works with the greatest degree of reliability and perfection without our having to do very much about it, at least for a long period of our life. Maybe we'd be better off staying out of it even longer, but whatever the case, this body was created at a time, or at least its blueprint was laid, and even that is saying something fairly crude compared to what Steiner says was really there. But this body appeared and manifested at a time when the universe was still virtually perfect, when we had this kind of clockwork that Newton describes, but the clockmaker was still active. He was still making sure it all worked. The physical body is just on the other side of that. But already with the creation of this invisible, warmth-only physical body, something starts to change in the universe. So for a long period of time, the play of warmth in this great, great space, though there really wasn't a space, there were no dimensions as of yet, went on back and forth. And as beings met that warmth and reacted to it in one way or another, they began to understand. Something of a new kind of consciousness began to dawn on them. And there was a particular class of beings for whom that warmth was indeed like a physical body, because it had the laws of the physical body. We could say these were the first beings who really inhabited a physical body, anything like our own, though it had no substance, it had no linear dimensions, it had no weight, it was simply warmth, but nonetheless, it operated according to the laws of the physical world. So now we have beings who were in a physical body. What does that mean? That meant that they were human at that time. These were beings going through their human stage. Today, Steiner would call them the spirits of personality. They had a persona, we could say, because they were experiencing something of a physical world, though one completely different from the mineral physical world in which we live, a physical world of warmth, a physical world of fire, as it were, though fire that had no physical manifestation in the way it would today. So these were the spirits of personality, also known as the archai. These beings who rule over great historical periods on the earth, whose rulership is connected very much with the passage of the sun from one zodiacal sign to another, because they're very much in touch with the movements, with the activities of the perfect spiritual world. They too, like our physical body, so the humanness of these archai is just slightly crossing the line from a world that was absolutely perfect. So these archai carry within them tremendous powers, tremendous capacities of manifesting the perfect on the face of the earth, though they need the help of very imperfect human beings to do this. So these were the first beings to go through a human stage, at least as Steiner says, the first that he knows of, that he can describe. And although we might feel that Steiner made all kinds of claims about what he could see and what he could understand and so on, and is roundly criticized for that by many, nonetheless, he acknowledged he had his limits. And this was as far back as he could go. The very beginning of the creation of time. And he said, this is why we call this the beginning. And this is why the archai have that name. Arch means something at the very beginning. They are the spirits of the beginning. They are beginners, beginnings. And human beings were, as it were, we were, man, our group, we were still very, very much in the womb of the hierarchies. All that was laid down was what would later be a basis for our physical body. So the throne sacrificed part of their nature, their essence, let it, as it were, drop down. This was rendered in a kind of flame, Sacrifices would be later, we know from the Old Testament and other cultures as well. And out of this flame came the warmth of the planetary stage, because we might say of its dimensionality that Steiner spoke of as Saturn. But he says this is not the planet we know today. This is a stage of the Earth called Saturn, the very beginning. And then, after existing in its own way for a long period of time, Saturn went into a stage of complete sleep. It disappears completely. All of its forces, everything that existed on it, seems to, as it were, go into a black hole. And this, Steiner says, is the equivalent for a planetary stage of death. This is the equivalent of the life between death and rebirth. And he called it, and continued to call it, in the Eastern term, because he was still a theosophist at this time, pralaya. The pralaya is a state of apparent non-being, and then it returns again. And now the first return, the first step of this return, is a recapitulation of everything that happened on Saturn. The sacrifice of the thrones, the arising of warmth, the laying down of the skeleton of the skeleton, as it were, the warmth of physical being that becomes our physical body in time, and the human stage of the archai. But now a second process of condensation occurs. And here we have warmth condensing still further into what we would call light. So light is a denser stage, in a way, than warmth is. It's a sort of densification. And light, of course, needs to shine out on something. If you have light, you need space for that light to ray into. So now we have another kind of densification. We move from time to space. So time keeps going. Time is now here. It is a fact of the universe. And to it is added space. Now, even Immanuel Kant, who thoroughly investigated philosophically every aspect of human experience, and wrote about it all with incredible depth, density, and dryness, nonetheless, even he had to admit that our experiences of time and space are a priori. They are just a given. That there's no sense in a philosopher trying to ponder whether we really do experience time and space and questions like that. They just are. So this is how deeply these go, and yet Steiner says they weren't always there. So now we have a more complex planetary period, and this is another condensation, also in terms of our spatial understanding of it, because now it marks, as it were, a sphere that would extend today from the Earth to the Sun. So it is, as it were, the sphere of the Sun's movement around us, we could say. So now it's smaller. There's a greater tightening that's gone on. And this is why it is called Sun. But once again, it's not the sun we see in the sky anymore, though there certainly are characteristics that are shared. But it is yet another stage of the Earth. And it's one in which light begins to shine out, and in which time and space start to interweave and delicately separate out. So now we could say that the human physical body is added to, the seeds of the physical body now start to take on a spatial dimension. But in addition, out of this light comes another principle added to the human being, another sacrifice of higher beings, and to warmth and the nature of physical law is added now the laws of life, the laws of form. And the human being has the seeds, the very beginnings of an etheric body. Again, a gift from on high, not like the etheric body we have now, but a body nonetheless, which is very connected to light. A body which follows, as it were, the laws of light and finds itself in space where it goes into form and comes out of form. Meanwhile, the physical body is developed further. It's worked over in this more condensed period, and it starts to condense a little bit more. So there's now a kind of twofold potential here, although human beings as we know them are still living in a totally cosmic state, still quite asleep, though a little more awake than they were in Saturn. And now another hierarchical group become human, go through their human stage. Now they have a physical body, which is a body of light, a body that takes on a degree of space. Not nearly like the physical body that we have, but nonetheless, something that serves them in the same way. And because they experience a physical body, and because they also are fourfold, they are now going through their human stage, and these are the archangels. So the archangels are in their human stage now, with a physical body that, spiritually speaking, is far more dense than the physical body that was experienced in Saturn by the Archai. So the archangels now come closer to the state that we're in, though something is still more distant. And now the life of the sun progresses for a long period of time. But things do not go in quite the same way that they went in Saturn. And here we come to approach and meet one of these major issues that Steiner brings to us. We'll hear about it in the next segment.